names and how to chant the holy names and how not to chant the holy names. So, let's talk about the three different stages of chanting. First, we have this Namavas stage. Of course, I'll talk about Nama Abarad. That's not one of the stages I'd like to talk about, but we can talk about that later. So, Namavas chanting means that one is chanting the holy names, and they may be meaning something else. They may be joking, they may be teasing, making fun of the devotees, or they may be just going to a hotel chain called the Ramada Inn, and they're chanting the holy names. So, there's great potency in that. And I'm going to tell some stories that illustrate the potency of Namavas chanting. And some of these stories are from Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and some of them are my own stories. Anyway, so here's one story, very interesting. Once upon a time, there was a sannyasi, a Mayavadi sannyasi. Mayavadi sannyasi means one who meditates on basically becoming one with Brahman. Not very interesting. No personal relationship. But he was in Varanasi, which is a place for Mayavadis. And he was just chanting Om Tatwamasi and Yatomat Tatopat, you know, whatever they chant. And he was a Paramahansa Mayavadi. That means the topmost stage of Mayavad Sannyasa, and also Vaishnava Sannyasa also has the same stage. And he was completely in control of his senses. He spent 14 or 15 years being a Mayavad Sannyasi, and he was just completely depressed. Because there's no personal relationship in impersonalism. Is that you gotta be careful, I get too. If I start moving my hands, then a poop ball goes over. That happens sometimes. So, he was very depressed, and he was just meditating, Om, 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 Om. Then what happened is that some Vaishnava came by, and he was having a little kirtan, even in Varanasi, and he was chanting, Nitai Gauranga, Jai Sachinandana, Jai Sachinandana. And so the Vaishnava sannyasi, Om, Om, Om. And as soon as he heard Nitai Gauranga and Jai Sachinandana, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Ki Jai, he started to feel some happiness. And he was thinking, what is this happiness? This is what I've been looking for my whole life. Because he was extremely depressed, and at that time they didn't have Prozac. That's an antidepressant. Nowadays, we prescribe, I'm sure the doctor prescribes Prozac for my bodies. So what happened is he started to feel ecstasy, but he was too shy to talk to the Vaishnava. And so from that point onwards, he began to think of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's names. And eventually he made his way to Vrindavan, and then after going to Vrindavan, he made his way to Mayapur, especially a place called Godrum Dwipa, which our great Acharya, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, would live at. And this Godrum Dwipa is a very, very special place for preaching Krishna consciousness. And then he became a great devotee, and eventually he got this spiritual name, Vaishnava Das, who became a servant of Vaishnavas. And one of the reasons he was given the name Vaishnava Das is because, as a Mayavadi, or Mayavadis in general, they're quite proud. And they think, you know, I am Brahman, I am God. And sometimes people even believe them when they say they're God. Just like Prabhupada said, in the 1970s, Prabhupada said, there are so many gods coming from India. And they make followers in the West and take back the money. Actually, there was even one god. He fell down with his secretary, and his mother sued him in court. And she said, he is not God anymore. My other son is God. So anyway, he became a great devotee of the Lord and began to serve the Vaishnavas and used his erudition, that means his learning in the Vedanta, to preach to others and convince others to come to Krishna consciousness. So there's attestation to the potency of the holy name. Just one other story from Bhaktivinoda Thakur. There's another story Bhaktivinoda Thakur tells of a person who is very much engaged in Nyaya. Nyaya is the study of logic, whereby you can make a pot seem like the sky, and you can use logic to prove anything. And of course, that's why it says in the Mahabharata, Tarko Pratishtha Shuchina Vibhina. The Mahabharata says one cannot understand the absolute truth through logic. One cannot understand the absolute truth just by studying the Vedas without the association of a pure devotee, but only by Mahajanayena Vipassapanta, following in the footsteps of the great devotee. Anyway, so he was engaged in logic, and all the other logicians, they were afraid of him. So whenever he was in town, they'd all lock their doors and just stay home with their wives, because he could defeat them. So they're all very nervous about him. And so then one of the other logicians, one of his competitors, went and started to perform puja to Kalima to kill him. So he went to the crematorium, because that's where you do your puja. Not this puja, of course. But this is not a crematorium. This is the topmost place, the temple of Krishna. So he went to the crematorium for a whole month. He was chanting, Kalima, 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 kill this other person. Actually, this other person had a nice name. His name was Rajanath. Rajanath. And anyway, somehow he had that nice name. So he was at the crematorium, and he was chanting, Kalima, Kalima, kill my opponent! Kill him, get rid of him! And then, after a month, there was thunder, lightning, ghosts were coming out, and there was a voice from the sky, and the voice from the sky said, don't worry, this Rajanath will no longer be your competitor. And so, this person was really happy to hear this. He said, oh, thank God, he will not be my competitor anymore. Okay, so let's go back to the story of the Prajnapati and what happened to him after he was cursed by Kali. So what happened is that he was studying Nyaya, but then he was informed one day by a brahmachari that there was a better Nyaya teacher than him. Someone who had lived like 40 or 50 years before. And that person's name was Nimai Pandit. So he became very interested in hearing the philosophy of Nimai Pandit. So he went around, and eventually he found some books elaborating on what Nimai Pandit had talked about when he taught Nyaya. And he read them, and he was just so overwhelmed that he started to think of Nimai Pandit 24 hours a day. He said, that Nimai Pandit, I wish I was alive when he was, I wish that he was still with us. And then he went to his grandmother, and he said, Grandma, do you remember Nimai Pandit? And grandmother said, yes, he would come over here all the time and eat shak, that spinach. And he was the most handsome, wonderful person you can imagine. And when he heard that, at the same time his wife served him shak, and he was thinking, this is the shak of Nimai. So he began to think of Nimai Pandit 24 hours a day. Gaurahari, Nimai Pandit, Gauranga. So by chanting and thinking like that, eventually he lost all desire to engage in Nyaya. He was thinking, I wasted my human form of life just simply by chanting the Lord's holy names like Gauranga, Valite, Hari, Pulaka, Sharia, as Narottama Das chants. When will the day come when I chant Gauranga, will the hairs of my body stand on end? Tears come from the eyes like torrents of rain. So, anyway, he gave up all this Nyaya's business, you know, logic and reason, and eventually he took also shelter of the Vaishnavas in Godrum Dweep, and he eventually realized his spiritual nature, which is that of a coward boy. Very interesting story told by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Now, I'll tell one personal story about the potency of Namavas chanting. So one personal story is that many, many years ago, before any of you were born, I was listening to the radio. And I was listening to hear some mundane songs, obviously, folk songs or something like that. This is the 1960s. And all of a sudden, this voice came on the radio. It was Prabhupada's chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I didn't know what it was. You know, I just thought, nice. But then immediately after I heard it, as we hear, Brahmanda Brahmate Kondabhadjuan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasadhi Bhakti Bhakti, that the seed or the creeper of devotion was implanted in my heart. And immediately I became attracted. And, you know, just like Maharaj, my background was not exactly super elevated. I mean, my father was a butcher, but. Grandmother, but you know, it wasn't an elevated background. But you know, Dina Hina Yata Jivo Harina Mudurila. It doesn't matter if one chants the holy names, it doesn't matter whether one's background was low or high. Harina Mudurila, he becomes liberated, he becomes Krishna conscious simply by chanting. So, anyway, so I heard the holy name, and immediately I was thinking, where did that come from? So then I began to listen to the radio 24 hours a day to hear it again. And I had my tape recorder ready to record it as soon as it came on again. So it was 24 hours, listening to all those mundane garbage Bollywood songs. Not that I like it. And then finally I recorded it, and then I kept playing it for myself, to myself. And then the next thing I knew, I had a bald head and was wearing robes. It took some time, of course. And I woke up in the Hare Krishna temple with a ball. It went on up. And then I met Prabhupada week after I moved in the temple. And then I recognized, here's my eternal spiritual master, Uncle Chakra Prabhupada, at that point. I actually tried to take initiation 2 weeks after I met Prabhupada, the temple president, got very angry because I didn't follow the proper procedure. That was in 1971. The temple president almost killed me. He was a very tall student radical before he joined the movement, so I escaped with my life and then later took initiation from Prabhupada. But it was all from hearing the holy name, all those nama vows. The holy names are so powerful. Nam namakari bahudad, these are sarva shaktis. All powerful. And there's many stories in the Vedic literatures other than the stories I told. Such as, you know, Dhruva Maharaj chanting the holy names and then he lost all his material desires. Even the sage Valmiki, before he was Valmiki, Ratnakara, he was chanting Mara, 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 which became Ram, Ram, Ram. And he couldn't even chant Ram in the beginning, but it became Ram. And then he became such a great sage that he was able to give shelter to Sita Devi and Lavan Kush and write the Ramayana, which was revealed to him in his heart. So it's such is the potency of Krishna's holy names. So even Namavas chanting, as Maharaj mentioned, even if one chants once, Rupa Goswami says, we offer obeisances to him in the mind. So that's the first stage. And of course, we should avoid offenses. The next stage, of course, after that, after Namabhasana, is Shudanam. But to come to the Shudanam platform, one has to avoid these 10 things which are called the 10 offenses, which Prabhupada always mentioned at the time of initiation. And I'd like to present the 10 offenses in a positive way, rather than a do not, or as Prabhupada said, donuts. Prabhupada said, you know what a donut is? It's a round thing with a hole in it, and the hole is the best tasting part of it. Anyway, so the devotees in the beginning days of the movement would actually sneak and go to the coffee shop and eat donuts. And then when Prabhupada walked by the coffee shop, they would slump down in their chairs so Prabhupada wouldn't see them. So that's why Prabhupada said we have so many donuts in our Krishna consciousness. Or do nots. So anyway, so the 10 events are things to be avoided. Just like in yoga, there's yang and niyam, you know, negative injunction, positive injunction. But let's present the 10 events in a positive way. Okay. first offense, of course, is to blaspheme the devotees of the Lord, dedicate their lives to giving the holy of the Lord. But let's present it in a positive way. We should serve those devotees of the Lord who have dedicated their lives. As Maharaj was mentioning, you know, Vaishnava Seva is very important. It's practically one of the most important things. I actually realized that recently. I was telling this story last night. I was serving a Vaishnavi who was getting ready to leave her body. You know, sometimes I help people leave their bodies. I'm not euthanasia. I help them remember Krishna as they're leaving their body. I don't help them leave their body. I'm sure that's illegal here in euthanasia. Anyway, this is one of the things I really enjoy doing, serving Vaishnava. So I was in Mayapur, and there was a very nice devotee, not a prominent big devotee. Her name was Mata Rupa, and she was the wife of one of my friends. And even though I was in the middle of the GBC meetings, enjoying meeting every day, as you do, I made a time out, an hour or two every day, to read from the Chaitanya Charitamrita to her. And I experienced so much happiness and taste for the holy name by doing that. I would say that it was more ecstasy than even going and seeing the deities. And I'm not putting that, well, more than GBC, that's Sleeping. I can report more on the internet. So I had so much taste of it, and they were thanking me. The whole family was thanking me. Thank you for coming. And I said, no, you thank you for letting me do this. So that's the point with Vaishnavas. You serve Mahatseva Mahurvi Muktes. I mean, there's so many statements. You serve the Vaishnavas. I mean, Maharaj was talking about austerities. I have watched my time. So. There's an interesting verse in the discussion between Jajbharata and King Rabhugana. Rabhugana taught tapasadhi yati vajajya nirvapana grahatva nachandasa naivajaladmi suryar guna mahapadu jogi shikha. That really, you're not going to become Krishna conscious or be elevated in any way by performing austerities, you know, putting yourself in ice cubes in the middle of the winter, or surrounding yourself in fire in the middle of the summer, especially in India where it's 50 degrees out in the summer. And only by taking the dust, basically abhishek from the dust of the feet of the great devotees, or serving the devotees, and all the devotees. I mean, sometimes people think, I'll just serve my guru. This is another thing. People have this fanatic, where they call guru rupees. You know, they call them groupies. But actually, we're part of the whole society, as Maharaj very nicely mentioned, that we're part of Prabhupada's society. We don't want to think of our individual groups, you know, I'm this person's disciple, therefore it's our group, we're going to have our disciple meeting right now, and we're the best, and our guru is the best. And you might as well join a rugby team. Maybe a rugby team. You know, at least that won't be offensive. So, yeah, rather than offending Vaishnavas, it's better to play rugby. So, I'm going to be encouraging people. But don't play rugby with Vaishnavas because you may hurt them. that's offensive with one's body. That's the worst possible. So we should serve all the devotees of the Krishna consciousness. We don't just think that who's my disciple is not my disciple. I mean, the devotee who I was serving in Mysore is not my disciple. It's the disciple of Jagatapaj. And I just consider everyone to be part of our family. We're all part of the same family. So we don't distinguish like that. So that's the first events are provided in a positive way. And the next event in a negative way is I consider the names of the demigod like Vishnu or Brahma, etc., etc., to be equal to or independent of the holy name of Lord Vishnu. Instead, we take it positively that the holy name of Lord Vishnu is non-different than Lord Vishnu, and the names of the demigods generally, they're just names of the position. And we chant the names of Lord Vishnu, and we understand the demigods are servants of Lord Vishnu. And that's a positive way. The next offense, of course, is to disobey the order of the spiritual master. The positive thing is obvious. Obey his order. Why should we obey his order? Not blindly. The prophet said blind following and absurd inquiries are to be condemned. I mean, we have a right to say, you know, can you explain that order you were doing? I mean, prophet would test the devotees sometimes to see if they were following blindly. The typical story, the prophet was walking on the beach one time, and they walked by, and there were some big cars, and Prabhupada said, the future of the movement will have so many big cars, and they walked by big buildings, the future of the movement will have so many big buildings. And each time the devotee said, Jai Prabhupada. And then they walked by a man with a big dog, and Prabhupada said, in the future we will have so many big dogs in our movement. And all the devotees said, Jai Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said, you're foolish. Everything I say, you'll say, Jai. So, not mind following, but we should follow the instructions of the spiritual master and have a right to inquire why should we have this instruction. Like that. So, the next, that's the positive. And then, so the next event is to blaspheme the Vedic literatures or the literatures and pursuits of the Vedic religion. Instead, we distribute Prabhupada's books, we glorify the Vedic literature, and we glorify all religious literatures that point out, even outside of our society, in whatever religion, that point out that the worship of God is the goal of life, and developing one's relationship with God is the goal of life. And even the Vedic literatures that deal with the three modes of nature that we ultimately meant to bring you to the point of Krishna consciousness. So they're all stepping stones on the path of Krishna consciousness. So, next offense is to consider the glories of the holy name to be imaginary. And obviously, Nama Chintamani, Krishna, Chaitanya, Vasa, Vidra, Purushananda, Jindra, Vidhwan, Nama, Nama, Yom. The holy name is Krishna. We should always chant with that in mind. That's a little fast. Next, 45 seconds. You know, if I put myself on super speed, yeah. Next event is to give some crazy interpretation. Just like there was the story that Chaitanya Charitamrita, this Balabhat, he went to Lord Chaitanya. And he said to Lord Chaitanya, I have given a new interpretation of the holy name of the Lord. And Lord Chaitanya chastised him. He said, the holy name is Krishna. We don't need to hear any new interpretation. And so the next offense, of course, is to commit sinful activities on the strength of chanting. So don't commit sin, or do pious activities, or do devotional service. Of course, we're going to be taking vows. Those are taking first initiation about the four regulator principles, no illicit sex. No.
What? Oh, we shouldn't tell them.
No illicit sex, no gambling, no meeting, no intoxication. So, no meeting. No meat, fish, or eggs. And if you're from Fiji, no kava either. Because in Fiji, they have these Ramayan mandalas. And after reciting the Ramayan, they all take this kava and stay intoxicated the whole night. So, we don't want to do that. So, anyway, so we serve Krishna, and so the next one, the offense is to consider the chanting to be like one of the rituals, the Karmakanda rituals in the Vedas. It's not. Chanting is directly Krishna, and if one tastes of the chanting, they don't have to perform any of these rituals in the Vedic literatures. Everything is there in the holy name, perfect and complete. Ninth offense is to preach the glories of the Lord to those who are faithless or blasphemous. And so instead, we should have some discrimination when preaching the name. There's ways to preach to people or get them to chant without causing them to commit offenses. For example, I had one disciple in the UK, and she goes around saying Guranga to everyone. And she's addicted. She's a social worker, and she says to all of her clients, what's the magic word? And they say, Guranga, Guranga. So everyone's chanting Guranga, Guranga. Initially in Scotland, they would take these big banners and post them on the bridges.
Still there.
They would go out, the bridges would go out in the middle of the night with all this paste, and paste these giant banners of Guranga. So then people started to believe that Guranga was a bridge building company. And one time, here's a story she told me. One time the devotees were pacing this thing on Guranga on a bridge. And the police came and said, what are you doing? We're going to arrest you. But then they got a call. There's an emergency. Someone is jumping off another bridge. So they ran to the other bridge and found it wasn't anyone jumping off. It was a devotee pacing another Guranga. So we should be expert in preaching, like Prabhupada said, in like a pen, out like a plow. And the tenth offense is not to have complete faith in the chanting holy name, maintaining material attachments. So we should try to get rid of these material attachments by association with great devotees. You know, reading, we should have a culture of reading Prabhupada's books on a regular basis. And then, Vaso Varjam Rasha Pusha Padam Dusha Devartate. Automatically you get a higher taste, and the taste for the lower things fall away. And of course, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that it's an offense to be inattentive while chanting, and that offense sort of like encompasses the other offenses, because if you're attentive, you'll be aware of what you're doing, and you'll be aware of the other offenses, and you won't commit them. And then you'll quickly achieve the desired result and come to the stage of bhava. The stage of bhava is the stage where you feel ecstasy, like we chanted this verse from Narottama Das Thakur, Gauranga Balite Havi Pulakar Sharia, when you feel your hair standing on end when you chant Hare Krishna. Kavi Havi Bolo Si Dinamar. When will that day be mine? We should, that's volume, that's hankering, we should hanker for that. Keep that goal in mind, that's a sankalpa, you know, the goal. Why am I chanting? Every time you chant, you should be thinking, why am I chanting? What's the goal? If you're chanting because you have to chant your 16 rounds, that's not good consciousness. Why are you chanting? I have to finish my rounds. Like Prabhupada gave the example one time, he was chanting his rounds, moved the counting beads down, and he said, now I've finished 16 rounds, I can do any damn thing I want. So that should not be the consciousness, just to get your rounds done. We chant because we have the goal of pleasing Krishna, becoming purified, becoming Krishna conscious, becoming an instrument, as Maharaj talked about, preach Krishna consciousness and help others. So those are the 10 offenses, and then in addition to that, I'll just close with this one other point. We should study the Shikshashtaka, the 8 teachings given by Lord Chaitanya, and chant understanding the specific verses that relate to us. Because each of the verses in the Shikshashtaka relate to different stages of advancement in devotional service. For most of us, the verse that really will probably resonate is I Nanda Tanuja Kinkaram Patikamam Vishame Bhavamburo Kripya Tava Parapankajas Pita Duhi Sadrasam Pachintaya. Oh, son of Nanda Maharaj, I'm your eternal servant, but somehow or other I've fallen into this horrible ocean of birth and death. Please fix me up as one of the atoms at your lotus feet. And as Prabhupada said, one should cry like a child crying out to his mother. Our children go, Mom! Mom! But instead, we're just chanting, Hare Krishna. And you ever hear a child crying out to his mother? Mother, mother. Mother, mother. No, I mean, it's stupid. The child cries out, Mom! Save me! Raksha Mom! Bhai Mom! Right? My mom. So we should chant, you know, Krishna, I do the material world, I'm suffering, help me. And as you advance more, then you come to a higher platform, you're like, Dayutam, maybe Shaina, but that, we're not at that platform, at least most of us are not at that platform right now. feeling your separation and considering the moment to be like a Hindu cycle. No, we don't. Right now, we may not be experiencing any separation from Krishna. We can forget Krishna for 20 hours a day, but we don't feel any intensity. But when you get to be an advanced devotee, even when you try to forget Krishna, Krishna comes back in your mind. And at our stage, even when we try to remember Krishna, Maya comes to our mind. So, therefore, there are different verses that resonate with us. And ultimately, you come to the point of Krishna, you can do anything you want. You're completely free. You can crush me by your embrace, leave me brokenhearted. And that's the topmost stage. And that's the stage of the gopis and residents in Vrindavan. But that's the goal. So keep the goal in mind. If you're traveling from one place to another, you know what's called the mileposts, and you know the goal. So that's why we should study Srila Prabhupada's books, study Lord Chaitanya's Shikshashtaka, associate with the devotees. They're very important. Without the devotee association, we will break. That's probably an example of many states. And then we will be successful in our Krishna consciousness. Initiation is just the beginning. You have not achieved perfection by taking initiation. You have enrolled in Krishna's school to go back to home by the Bhagavad Gita. Sorry for speaking so long. So, we can continue. We're going to... The name is it? Okay. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada.
Jai.
What happens now? I give the names or you want?